This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
And now, ready for sports talk, apparently, Soren Petro.
You had no open ready, did you?
I was going to say a man who always brings the energy. It's going to be a Kansas thing, but I thought, I like the sports talk.
Bit. Yeah, I like that when I sit down and look up on the screen, Brother Patrick. Subject, sports talk. Awesome. That's right up our alley.
He came to the right place.
That's right. I like that. Man's ready to rock and roll. It is the program, right? You are, Kay. A little sports talk coming your way here today in the program. Some of our favorites and Tim Grunhardt. How about that? I mean, that's a lineup for you, right?
A bunch of guys we like, plus Grunny.
Plus Grunny. I mean, on top of that. Was that a dig somehow?
Well, you said it.
We love Grunny.
Yeah, of course we do.
Grunny's today's three of our best. I'm not going to lie to you. And Frank. It's funny the second time, too. Oh, pow, he hit me again. I didn't see it coming.
Because what's funny is that Frank heard that and was laughing. They got Grunhardt. I love when they do that. Oh, crap.
Yes. No. Three of our best. Tim Grunhardt's going to be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, where they need to go from here. Grunny texted me topics and ideas. So we won't touch any of those because they were terrible. But, you know, we will talk about the Chiefs.
It's like Notre Dame this, Notre Dame that.
No, it was, he actually has some good ideas. He has some good. It's like he's been in radio and then football and then radio and then football and then back to radio. A little more football and now back to radio. So Tim Grunhardt, yes, he actually has really good ideas, which is not uncommon. He has a lot of excitement. Grunny needs more time.
From 11 to 1, we'll basically have crunch time.
Yeah, we will. we sure will.
They're not generally back-to-back, but...
I've not made a Pro Bowl like Bill Moss, so I will not be playing that role. No. But, I'll do my best. Frank Bull will be with us to talk flannel.
Yeah, I noticed that today. He's usually like in the running stuff. Today he's in the...
I got a flannel shirt. I mean, I just like the hoodie because I guess I'm a fatty is what people tell me. And no, not flannel.
Nah, just plaid.
Just plaid?
Yeah, it's the pattern you usually see on a flannel shirt, but not flannel.
Is flannel in?
You're asking the wrong guy. You better ask someone who's stylish.
Somebody
and who's
not. No, Curtis, we need your opinion on this.
Yeah, you weigh in.
Whatever you say, the opposite we know is true.
Let's ask the guy who has three shirts what's hip.
Well, it was asked by the guy who has six, so, you know, trust me, I'm right there. I wear whatever's on top of the laundry stack. I had a black flannel shirt I think I need to wear. I think it looks pretty good, but usually I'm just like, hoodie, sweater. I wear it because I can. And I feel like there are a lot of people that are like, damn, I wish I could wear a hoodie to work. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to do it for you, man.
I still see some guys, even older guys, rocking the...
Still
impressive.
Working through things. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Black T-shirt with the unbuttoned flannel over it. Kind of a...
Oh, there you go.
Kind of a casual...
Yeah, that's there. I'll go down that road. So we'll talk flannel with Frank Bull. Play What in the World. Get some Frank opinions for you. The Shift Man... Alex Schiffer handles the Tigers beat for the Star. He'll be with us in the 1 o'clock hour. I'd like to wrap things up with stuff you need to know. But now let's start with sports talk. God, Brother Patrick's the best.
And now, sports talk.
I've got some sports talk. That's awesome. One of our best. Patrick, I love you, my man. You are the best. We will get to Brother Patrick and your phone calls. You can grab a phone line right now. We like to take calls as much as we can, 913-3810-810. So you can join us. Sports Talk, Chiefs, Royals, KU, K-State, Missouri, Sporting Kansas City, always a topic here in the program. You can grab a phone line right now at 913-3810-810. We will start with a little basketball. The Missouri Tigers are winners. Let's hear from Konzo Martin here real quick, talking about learning lessons. Martin says their recent losing skid did teach him a couple of lessons.
I think after the Tennessee win, we weren't the same team. And I think we got, I don't know, a level of arrogance and cockiness for beating a ranked team, a good team, and the focus level wasn't there in practice. We didn't play as hard. We didn't compete. We didn't defend, rebound, all those things that make us a good team. Because like I always say to the guys, we can be very successful. We click on all cylinders. But our margin for error is so slim when we're not on the same page. And I think that was the case of those three losses. And then, you know, we had to look at some things as a coaching staff. And I don't want to give it away, but there were certain areas we weren't doing a good job as coaches. And it starts with me, and we try to correct those things.
The more I listen to Konzo Martin, the more I like him. That's also no doubt affected by the fact that he's pulled this team out of a tailspin. I mean, he would sound worse. It would sound annoying. It would sound like coach speak probably right there if he hadn't taken a team that had lost three in a row and now turned it and won three in a row with two of those three on the road and then one in between against a ranked Kentucky team. This is a pretty good little run that they're on. So everything he says sounds better. I'm hip to that fact. You know, Bill Self, no doubt, part of the reason why he's, you know, the rock star of college basketball is because he's draped in wins. I got it. Bruce Weber's voice. You know, we've said it before. If Bruce Weber were rolling out the number 8 team in the country, followed by the number 16 team in the country, followed by the number 7 team in the country, and Elite 8, Sweet 16, Final Four, he'd be a character. That voice, everybody would be doing. You'd be having contests for your Bruce Weber impressions, and, you know, the wins make everybody look good, and Missouri's digging out of a hole. If Konzo Martin's a bubble team fought for 5 years in a row, in 2 and out 3, that's going to look different. I mean, it's going to sound different. I'm hip to that fact. But I like what I hear out of Konzo Martin, and even more so, I'm going to tell you that this team I thought was dead on arrival. Now, I nailed it when it came to the Kentucky game. I was on with Jason Anderson down in Louisville, and he said, all right, give me a pick on the game. I was driving back from the Super Bowl when I was on with him. I said, listen, I mean, this team was in an absolute free fall with losses at A&M, Auburn, and at Mississippi. Mississippi State, you know, I'm not sure how they got the win down at Alabama, but there's no consistency in this team. I like Kentucky by double digits. I nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely nailed it.
Kentucky was in the game, and it was double digits for most of the game.
Yes, it just wasn't Kentucky, right? So I give all credit. And I could have kept that to myself and acted like I called it, because we were doing all Super Bowl talk at that time, and I really didn't get a chance to go into it. I mean, I was blown away by their performance against Kentucky. Now, reverse engineer it after the fact, like most of you media fatties like to do, and never be the proactive side of things and talk about what's to come. We talk about it not because we feel a need to try to get everything right. It's one of the reasons why we acknowledge we're not going to get everything right. I hope it's one of the things that's endearing about the program is I don't spend the days after the games trying to come up with some bogus BS reason why what we said beforehand was really right, and don't worry about reality over here. Right? Nothing drives me crazier than that. And I think that's, frankly, a symptom of America today. It's part of what's wrong with our country. Instead of saying, hey, we screwed this up, now here's how we're going to fix it. We spend a lot of time in this country justifying why what we did that screwed everything up is still okay. And we're not to be blamed. Blame somebody else. Well, that's crap. All right? And hopefully we'll mature as a nation. Sidebar, soapbox, down off of it now. Let's go back to what I do, sports. But I think that mindset permeates us as sports fans. You know, it's okay to be like, listen, the team sucks. Wow, they won. Okay, now why? And if you're a coach, wow, we won. Why'd we win? Let's do it again. Konzo Martin has wow, we won, and is doing it again. I mean, I think you need to talk about what you think's going to happen. If you're in a management role, if you're in an evaluation role, if you're Jim Sterk at Missouri, and listen, Konzo Martin's not going anywhere for a couple of years. He's going to get at least 3 years on this job. But you're constantly evaluating all of your coaches. I think one of the things you need to do is look at it and go, ooh, A&M, okay, good team, good talent, let's call it that. That hasn't really gelled, but good talent. That's all right to lose down there like that. Auburn at home, we were good for about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was the worst basketball I've seen anybody play anywhere all year. That wasn't a good sign. Followed up by a loss at Mississippi State, a team that's absolutely a bubble team. They are the Kansas State of the SEC. Georgia looks like them too, but Mississippi State had that cream puff schedule just like K-State did. But they're winning enough games in league that they're in the bubble discussion as well. That's a game you would like to have played better. I mean, that wasn't a good showing. To then go on the road at Alabama and grind out a win. And
I thought they were going to get destroyed by Sexton.
I thought they were going to get crushed. I was like, how is this going to work? I don't see it. Then to come back and handle an athletic, talented Kentucky team that is, I'll be honest with you, I think there's something to talk about there. As Kentucky fell again last night to Tennessee, I don't know if anybody watched that game. Kentucky's endgame execution was awful. Awful. And there's a lot to learn from that on coaching. Set that aside. What do we take away from Kentucky? But Calipari is not whispering in this team's ear. And it's by far the youngest team he's ever had. It's a statement about experience. It's a statement that maybe is Calipari losing his touch. I don't know. Maybe I'll listen to it. I mean, he says guys aren't leaving listening in the timeouts. I mean, that's a bad sign.
That's terrible.
And he didn't get 1, 2, 3 in the class. Duke did.
Yeah.
So I think there's a crack in the Kentucky armor there a little bit. But then to go down to Mississippi, which is a team that, you know, coming into the game, Mississippi was sitting at 4-6, which was, you know, really where Missouri was a couple of games ago, 2 below .500. Harboring hopes that if they can get to .500, I think anybody in the SEC has got to feel like if we get to .500, we're at least on the bubble. We at least go to St. Louis this year?
Yes. Whereas,
go to St. Louis thinking, hey, win a game and we're in.
Yeah.
And they get another win. Man, if you don't really set your expectations on what's going on, if you don't evaluate it each step of the way, then you don't know when to really give a guy an attaboy. I mean, yeah, they sucked against Auburn. And Konzo Martin, you know, and you don't do it as an athletic director. You don't run down there and yell at him. But, I mean, man, he needs a kick in the ass. Now, you expect him to give himself that, but his team could not have looked worse. It is the worst basketball I've seen this year, their last 15 minutes, and somehow, and they doubled down and lost again against a beatable team. Not a bad team, but a beatable team.
I mean, Auburn's number 7, but you don't want to play like a high school team for 15 minutes like they did.
Alabama's, you know, they're all right, but they got an NBA point guard. They got other athletes. I'm thoroughly impressed. I mean, I think if you're a Tiger fan, you got to like what you hear. And I know a lot of it is centering on Dickie V talking about, boy, Michael Porter Jr., the comments afterwards, Konzo Martin being asked about it because now he's at least doing some workout stuff, not playing ball, but could we see him back on the floor? That's great. I would invite Missouri fans to not even think about that. You know, I've already had a text today from a great Missouri fan I know said, well, in my opinion, him, they're talking about this because they're setting it up because he's coming back. I think they're answering questions. Are they fueling it? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. I think it's a good thing to do. Listen, Missouri should fuel rumors that he's going to be back right up until Selection Sunday, including Selection Sunday. On Selection Sunday, you need to be talking about Michael Porter Jr. coming back. We think he could be back for the SEC tournament. We think he could be back for the last week, last 2 weeks, wherever you want to put it. You don't want to do it too much because then you start to be a clown. But set it out there. Put the rumors out there. Let it circulate. Give Dick Vitale that comment kind of sort of off the record, which is maybe what they're doing. And sell the fact that whatever we are, we're going to be more.
Like Kansas did with Joel Embiid.
Like Syracuse did when they acted like Arinze Anawaku was going to come back and play when really he needed total knee reconstruction. And they kept their number one seed. You know, yes, that's how you play that game. So I think that's what it is with Michael Porter Jr. right now until I hear the kids playing basketball. When he's playing basketball, I'll even factor in Michael Porter Jr. to the final equation. Listen, I'm not saying Konzo Martin's the greatest X and O guy. I'm not saying he's got it all figured out because, frankly, I don't know what the hell is. I still don't know what the hell is going on at point guard. I know whoever doesn't start plays better. I know that. I know that is a key. Geis didn't start. He played better than Van Leer. Van Leer played better when he came off the bench before. I don't get it. I know I like Jonte Porter coming off the bench. I know that rotation, that chemistry seems to work best. I know last night Tillman couldn't stay on the floor. I know they didn't get a whole lot. They didn't get really anything, right, from Barnett.
Yeah.
Not that he didn't do other things. It's not just about your point total. But, you know, 5 boards, he at least chipped
that
in and helped out. That was a part of the equation. And just being out there as an athlete, he's a value. I mean, he was not irrelevant. I'm not saying he needs a Bill Self pep talk or anything. But Jonte Porter was an absolute difference maker. And this is the reality of an 18-year-old kid. He goes from being, oh, we like this kid, too. He's number 21 in the latest mock draft, too. He's not going to be drafted because he hasn't played well, too. Now comes out and has 18, 13, and 5 blocks and makes an incredible contribution to this team. Listen, I don't know if these pieces are going to come together. They got first-round exit written all over them. They also got ugly survival first round, play a big game in the second round, scare the crap out of somebody in the Sweet 16 kind of written on them too. I mean, you know, every game is a coin flip. I don't know what I'm going to get out of Missouri. I don't think he knows, Konzo Martin knows what he's going to get, but he's finding a way to win games. And I feel better about the X's and O's of Konzo Martin than I was sold on what he would bring to the table. What I was sold on was he can recruit pretty good, and he'll dig in and grind, right? He'll dig in and defend. You know, the defense hadn't lived up to it, but I'm going to believe that that expectation, that reputation is there and has been earned, and that's going to come around. And I think we saw that last night. Last night we saw him playing some defense against Ole Miss. Ole Miss helps because they're not the most talented team out there.
No.
But I like what I see from Konzo Martin. I like it.
And also, part of the reason they won last night was I realize it's first half isn't necessarily more important than second half, but they shot the lights out in the first half. Now, Ole Miss isn't a very good defensive team, one of the worst defensive teams in the SEC.
And by the way, you can pretty much bank on you're not going to in the second half.
Right, because they're going to make more adjustments because of the teams behind. But in the two prior wins, Alabama and Kentucky, they pretty much played from in front the majority of the game. Things were going well. Whatever, at the end of that clip, we heard from Konzo Martin about some things we did. We don't want to give away any secrets, but we made some adjustments. Well, whatever they were, he didn't say, all right, guys, first thing we got to do is we got to get down 11-0 on the road. And Jordan, I don't want you to score a basket the entire night. Don't sink a basket the entire night. Just wander around the court, grab a rebound here and there. That's the key to winning. It did not go well for them, and they managed to come from 11 down, led at one point by 13 in the first half, and continued to ride the hot hand of Robertson, who was the least heralded new arrival in this offseason, but they're at the bottom of the SEC if he's not on this team.
I don't know how it worked defensively, and I think you need good players coming off the bench, but I'm intrigued by. Well, if Porter Jr. came back at the end, you sit the other guard and you play through him. But man, that's a big change. But you know what? They've kind of been great, and then all over the place offensively. I don't know how it's going to work. It's a fascinating season to watch. Mm-hmm. It is a fascinating season to watch. If you just want to watch the Warriors, you know, ping pong the ball all over the place and then knock down threes, that's not what they're doing, right? But if you've ever coached Pee Wee hoops. You ever coached a third-grade team, a fourth-grade team, a fifth-grade team, a junior high team, and you know what goes into building a team and watching kids grow and gain things and trying to find the chemistry of how it all works and what the strengths and weaknesses are? Boy, you're watching it here. I mean, this is a lab of coaching that's going on. And I'm not saying he's killing it because he has not figured it all out, but I'm telling you, he has got just – a freaking junior high science experiment gone wrong that he is trying to piece it all together and then make it the state fair winning volcano bubbling lava, because there are so many different things and angles that are happening and trying to build this thing all together when being stripped of the guy that was going to be the focal point of the team from the get-go. It has not been the easiest season, and he is fighting for an NCAA tournament berth after taking over a team that had one squat. I mean, bravo. Listen, he may turn around, and I will not be shocked. I got nothing. When I mentioned what I said about Kentucky, and when Jason asked me, he goes, all right, what do you think happens? I said, I don't know. I have no idea. That's really – but I said, you want me to make a pick? They're in such a free fall. I think Kentucky beats them by double digits. I think their athletes get going. Tillman's in foul trouble. They don't really have a point guard. I just keep thinking at some point that's going to run them down. So give me Kentucky by double digits. First of all, if you're going to make a pick on the radio, oh, I like it right at the spread. Shut up. Shut up. Don't ever make that pick. I like the favorite team by the spread. Well, you're fired, okay? That's a waste of my time. So I always try to, if you're going to make a pick, make it bold. Where do you think it's going to be, right? Say what it is. So I took a shot. I don't know what they're going to do against Mississippi State. I really don't. It's an important game for them on Saturday to keep the mojo going. They got a couple of home games, but they're against teams that got Jimmys and Joes, man. They got Jimmys and Joes. And anyone who's ever coached at any level knows the Jimmys and Joes matter. They matter.
Yeah. Mississippi State, they better not come flat for that one. They're tied for fourth in the conference with Mississippi State, and they've already lost once to them. So if they don't bring effort on Saturday, that's an indictment of him getting his team ready. But I suspect they will.
All right, go ahead. We'll take your calls, 913-3810-810. You want to talk Mizzou. We will also talk about the Kansas Jayhawks. much ado about nothing. What did we see last night? 913-3810-810. We'll get to them next. You're in the program.